Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and yes, I do have the horses in the back, but I don't recall ordering any stupid horses. And with me, I have...
You know who's worthy of your grace? Colin Mockery, that beautiful Canadian Scottish bastard.
And...
Hey, look, listen to Taylor Swift again for being etched out by Lil Nas X again. You can't her, Beaver, Ed Sheeran, Chris Brown, and Drake out the top spot this past few weeks, which
is good. Seems like everyone's a fan of Lil Nas X, except maybe Spectrum Pulse, but whatever.
Not to mention, he did it with two songs. There's that other single he's got that's number one now. these are wild times we're living in, but I am here for it. Anyway, episode 135. How's everything been going with you guys lately?
Coming down from a very, very, very busy week of a lot of really bad work because the hotel business is always crazy in the summer, but whatever. I've found an old friend to come back to after a hard day. Who's Line Clips?
Ah, the classic.
Yeah, all the classic stuff, even some of the newer stuff with Aisha Tyler. And speaking of, it's on right now, and their guest tonight is, Tinashe, where are you at?
Wow, holy shit.
Okay.
Yeah, good stuff. And aside from that, yeah, just trying to stay as far away from all the intellectual dishonesty going on in regards to a certain show that I will be talking about very, very soon, but that's not important for this show. And, yeah. Enjoy all that goodness, all you intellectually dishonest people out there who like to think Netflix is ruining everything! Go ahead and keep thinking that. I'm not going to stop you. You're far too far gone anyway.
Ha ha ha! Discourse. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, recently or more today, I finally received my copy of American Ninja 2 Heroes. And, well, I think it's a good movie.
Even though I'm pretty sure that movie had way more than two heroes. I could do math, yeah. You know.
Yeah, and I did watch a Netflix show that's not that one, but I finally finished that Ultraman show that premiered like a couple of months back, which, it's fine. It's good. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really got to get around to that eventually.
I'm just saying, I've heard good things. And once everything dies down, we can all sit back and settle in with our good friend Fluffy. He's got a show on Netflix now.
Oh, shit, that's right. I forgot that came
out. Right.
Mister Iglesias, yeah.
Ah, chocolate cake.
So there's a lot of stuff on Netflix coming out. We speaking of which, Carol Tuesday win.
Still waiting on that. Come on, people. We ain't getting any younger.
Especially me.
Yes, especially Mark. But, anyway, as for me, well, I saw Sleep last week. Sleep and Big Business. No, I did not get up on stage and yell, P.U., what smells like Big Business? I didn't have a SpongeBob suit, so, you know, the reference wouldn't have even made sense.
What a waste.
Yeah, but that was a damn good show. I definitely walked away smelling like the devil's cabbage. And yeah, Sleep sounds fucking great live. I was literally, like, right there at the front of the stage, and you could just, like, feel the rumblings of the guitars and bass just shaking your core and everything. Shit, you can even feel the crowd. They were pushing so hard, they literally, like, busted open the front gate. Fucking security had to, like, put a freaking barrier thing, like, between where, like, the separate parts of the, like, front barrier gate were, just so it wouldn't push open again. Motherfuckers were still jumping up and stage diving and crap. It was wild, man. It was nuts. And yes, they did play both of their Adult Swim singles in their set list, so, you know. Aside from that, I also went to a party over the weekend for, you know, a friend of mine from university. I felt woefully underdressed. It had a weirdly specific theme of aliens and cowboys, and I was neither of those things. Mostly because I spent my money on other cosplay materials, which shall remain silent for the time being. This isn't related to, like, the My Hero Academia thing. It's a different thing, but whatever. That's not important. And aside from that, yeah, I mean, that's basically about it, except for, oh, yeah, that's right. Anime Expo is next week. I'm going, of course, representing the site, and today, literally minutes before we recorded this, I got in my shipment of official Surreal Resolution business cards. Because those are actually
we're not up in the world.
Yeah, those are actually required to like pick up your press credentials and shit. Of course, as always, I got to shout out our good buddy John. That's you want to follow him on Twitter. That's at K1NG_IC3 King Ice. We may butt heads on gaming opinions, but there is no denying that the man is a damn excellent graphic designer. So
you're here.
Yeah, with all that out of the way, now we can get into the usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week, and as always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and what we're talking about. Now, there's a bit of a theme this week. Now, I'll admit, one of the things I feel bad about when recording this podcast is that me and Alex can often have a tendency to trample over our dear friend Mark over here, though not intentionally. Remember, we're recording on weird connections that aren't exactly, you know, cream of the crop, because we live in a fucking nightmare country hellhole where big multimedia corporations don't want you to have ideal internet, damn it! But
you live in the South.
Well, except me. I have good internet, but whatever.
You got good internet.
Well, guess what, Mark? This week, you're going to be working overtime. This is a week just for you. Well, 90% just for you.
Yeah, 90%.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's start off with the first song here. So, have you heard about this project called Blarf? A lot of people have been talking about it on the internet lately. Now, who is Blarf? Well, if you believe the music blogs on the internet, apparently it's a musical alias for one Mr. Eric Andre. And if you listen to Eric Andre himself, apparently it's not actually him. And of course, as we all know, the man who created Bird Up, the worst show on television, bom, 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 is someone who can absolutely be trusted at face value. Clearly. But yes, this Blarf fellow is coming out with his debut album the day after we're recording this, so it's technically already out by the time you're listening to this episode. It's called Cease and Desist. And, you know, coming out on Stone's Throw of all places, that's interesting.
Wow, so we have
Yeah, so we got the first single here, probably the only single we're going to get. It's called Badass Bullshit Benjamin Button's Butthole Assassin. Just rolls right off the tongue, don't it?
Ooh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and this song is, well, I mean, it's fucking weird. I mean, it starts off kind of standard at first. Like it's a pretty, when it starts, it's a pretty straightforward, you know, kind of boom bap-ish hip-hop drum beat. You know, it's as quintessential as it gets. And then there's weird glitchy noise and saxophone, weird Mario samples, fucking audio from, like, nature documentaries, lots of tribal percussion in there, glitched out recordings of, like, old big band pieces and shit, freaking weird drum solos. It's kind of, in a way, it feels like a more explicitly trollish version of Death Grips, and I'm not gonna lie, I kind of have to respect the weirdness of it all, even if I'm not sure if it's, like, music or anti-music or whatever the fuck. It's like if Bird Up itself was a freaking song, just fucking decaying into nonsense as it goes on.
So this is bizarre as fuck. You got all these samples with the weird volume sample, which I was like, what the hell going on? It's like, I want to say it's like Vaporwave, except not Vaporwave, for like some type, for like very, well, maybe not the aesthetic of Vaporwave, but more of like the weirdness of, with a lot of, with, you know, with, you know, with that noise, and you wondering why is the clips of Jim Carrey or Richard Pryor for some reason, which, okay, this is, and they can see the thumbnail of the song, which the eyes bugging out, like that's kind of, well, yeah, that's creepy because they about to fall out and shit. That kind of terrifies the fuck out of me. But yeah, this is this is some weird shit. It comes from the mind of one burner creator, Eric Andre. that's expected.
I was not expecting to see a 3D dong in the video. That was weird. I'm pretty sure that violates YouTube's terms of service. You know, if people follow it anyway.
Yeah, they're very inconsistent about those things. But, anyway, let's move on from that weirdness to something significantly less weird. We have another posthumous Mac Miller recording here, this time courtesy of a producer named 88 Keys, with some guest vocals from Sia as well. Take it away, Mark.
I guess rap producer and, as Stereo Gun quotes, Mumford & Sons fan, 88 Keys. Okay. Okay, leave the track called "That's Life," which song has a very soulful song. But you got these, we got this gorgeous song with these horns, and of course, on the track, Mac Miller talks about the struggles of growing up, with his mom growing up with life, and how he used drugs to ease the pains of life, which. Well, for thinking of hindsight now, it's still kind of sad. Okay, and of course, all the fights, who also struck with what he's going to, which, even though I read that it was recorded around 2015, which, okay, it does sound like around the time he would talk about it, since I think he was trying to get clean around that time, at least from what I heard, this is very well. It's a good check from Mac. Like I said, in hindsight, it's more sad now with what happened to him. But yeah. And also, Sia's vocals are pretty good. Sia always has some good vocals for what she does here. Like, it's a good track. And 88 Keys, he does a good production on that shit. Since I read that, I think he did something that only Kanye West would do, which. The production was like, yeah, that's something that cause dropout Kanye West would do. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very pleasant sounding song. Kind of tragically ironic considering, retrospect, but, it's still something I want to listen to. Anyway, time to move on to the next song here with, oh shit. Guys, hang on. I gotta sound the alarm here. Beep. Yeah, we're on Migos watch right now.
Oh man.
Ew. I forgot about them.
I don't want to talk about them or hear about them or even imagine anything about them right now.
Well, it's not like I have a choice. I keep hearing them in fucking Mountain Dew commercials everywhere. It's like, I just want to drink my Sprite gets Vince Staples, Mountain Dew gets Migos. Even though I like Mountain Dew more than Sprite, we clearly know who has the better marketing here. But whatever, it is what it is, and, this probably means at some point in the future we're getting Culture 3, which is probably going to be like the length of Avengers Endgame, and...
With about 17 friggin' Nicki Minaj features.
That's called foreshadowing, people. But yeah, Migos, we got a new song from them called Stripper Bowl, and, wow, they're not even trying anymore. Like, not even with the ad-libs and shit. And can someone restart Quavo? He keeps stuttering and stopping. I think we have to turn him off and back on again. There's like a glitch in the Matrix. And, shit, it just sounds like every other Migos song. There's not even any I didn't even quote down any, memorably bad lyrics out of here, to be honest. It's just that much of a nothing song.
Yeah, what you get from this, there's not much to say about this track. It's, it's very much, it got this dull-ass beat, which is really not worth mentioning. If you want Migos version here, that's boring shit. And you make something like the Stripper Bowl sound boring. You made something with a lot of strippers sound boring.
Yeah, it's almost made me flash back to the one time I've ever been inside of a strip club. But I don't think I can actually mention that out loud on the internet. Yeah, sorry about that.
I gotta say this track is born as shit. This track is born as shit.
Agreed. Let's just move on to something with some actual flavor here.
Oh, Oh, look. It's our boy IDK.
When are you putting out Is He Real already, you bastard?
Yeah, I guess we don't know when. No announcement. Yeah, so anyway, IDK brought us a track called Digital. And I gotta say, the song and video is very interesting, as in, cause it's, like, it's all shot in black and white, and the thing with this video is, like, it was on, like, focusing on, like, you know, black neighborhoods and cops, like, in the video, there's a perception reality of how people look in a black neighborhoods. Like, you see, like, on the perception, you see a bunch of motherfuckers with guns waving the shit like a rapper, like, look at me with the chopper, I got the chopper and shit. Like, you see kids having choppers and shit, like, and then with reality, it's like, the shit's not like that at all. It's like, okay, oh, just, you know, hang around like everyday normal black people, or just people, like, fuck. We'll talk about, like, how, okay, even this where you said, flashback digital dash, you used to run with a gun and a mask, used to take all your shit in a stash, like, they ain't good boy, used to be bad. How about this? Like, 9 times out of 10, he gonna die, he gonna jail. That's number 10. Look, everybody starts a kid with a pure heart. They turn the hand, papa die, mama die. All nigga know is sin. Traumatized, pure jeopardized. He just wanna win. With a smile, when he doesn't strike, doesn't decree. All the good shit IDK spits. Like, it's a very interesting video and a good song as well.
Yes, very damn good. See what happens when you put effort into your lyrics and, you know, try to make a point? You can be interesting. Too bad Migos doesn't get that memo a lot. Goddamn. But, anyway, time to move on from that to this past week's entry into the Adultsome Singles program. This one coming from an electronic music producer named Iconica, spelled with K's because, you know, poor literacy is cool. And yeah, the track here is called Resurrection Machine. And it's a pretty straightforward song. I mean, you know, there's this very thumping kind of trap-ish bass there with a lot of loud clicking and clapping snares, this weird warbled synth pattern over top that, you know, rides the groove of everything. And it pretty much mostly repeats, like, those elements with the occasional break here and there with some more bleepy-bloopy elements for, like, basically, like, 3-4 minutes pretty much. It's just a loop like that. It's a soothing loop all the same, but, you know, that's not much to say. It sounds nice. I don't have any further commentary.
Okay, yeah, it's a very enticing song, enticing beat I got from this. Like, it is really got thinking of electronic that electronic trance song. You like when you listen to it, you don't get the moment. Like you just nod your head to it. Like, yeah, this song sounds pretty all right. Sounds pretty good.
Anyway, now to move on from that to. Oh, hey, look at that. We got another track from Blink-182 from whatever their new album is supposed to be. No name, no release date, no nothing. Well, I mean, at least this one is short. Literally only, it's less than a minute. It's called Generational Divide, and, you know, I like it better than the last song we heard. At least this one's actually got a friggin' pulse to it. You know, there's energy here. It actually sounds kind of punk. You know, like, I'm pretty sure this band used to be at some point. But, like, at the same time, I don't know, I'll probably just wait for that Sum 41 record. This just kind of sounds like it's going through the motions.
Yeah, pretty much all that. It's here, it's 50 seconds long, it does what it needs to do, and then it just sort of goes away. And that's the bulk of my commentary for the rest of this segment, because no way in hell am I going to talk about this fucking Nicki Minaj track.
Okay. That foreshadowing from earlier came back. Yes, Nicki Minaj, you know, after taking massive L's in 2018, is apparently back with a new single, another one named after a fictional villain from When We Were Children, except this time it's actually a villain, instead of a character that is technically a good guy in the canon of their mythos. So at least she actually read the Wikipedia summary properly, I guess?
Yeah, you know what the song's called? It's called Megatron. And I can say, well, it's a Nicki Minaj song. I mean, it's not a song like she talks about, you know, it's talking about the same shit she was talking about her own song. Like, like it has this like this basic, you know, Chocolate Island type of shit she always do when she goes, she tries to go pop a bid, like I don't know, like all these little shit she talks about, like, you know, like how much you know, how much she's a badass, or she's, you know, let's see, you know, she got, you know, she basically has okay, look, it's basically the same shit you hear from the last few songs. It's really not all that surprising. Like, I can try and do some of this shit, except I kind of, mine says, I kind of don't give a shit. Like, at all. Like, it's like, oh, wow, you may want some of the titles with actual bad guy, but it's, well, it's like a, just a general, I don't care. Like, she talks about herself all the time, which, okay, like, yeah, I get it, but I, you seem struggling to be, to give a shit about this, right? That's how boring it is.
Look, Mark, with any luck, Lil Nas X will also stop Nicki from reaching the top spot. Let's just hope the hype rides out for that long.
Yeah, let's hope so. We got one more song to get to with this list. And hey, hey, Rick Ross is back on his own album, shit.
Haven't seen you since Denzel Curry.
That basically came appearing in both his and Pusha T's album last year, which you're good at doing features for, you know, better rappers, but okay. Anyway, he has this new album, sequel to his 2006 album, Port Miami with Port Miami 2, which no release date is out there yet, and he has a new track featuring Lil Mate and possibly Wale with Act the Fool, which wasn't a Ludacris track way back in the 2000s.
I think. You know, now that you mention it, I'm pretty sure the sample of this beat, didn't he use it before in one of his first big hits?
Shit, probably. I didn't look into this that much, but anyway, I can say, like, anyway, about this song, yeah, it's what you expect from Rick Ross. He talks about, you know, trying to get this money, seeing that, get this money, like, see, always shouting, you know, always my shouting Maybach music in the background, which, again, Rick Ross is like the, how to put this for me, he's a middle road rapper for me. It's like, on one hand, it's like, oh, you can do that well, but on it's like, yeah, he's feeling that. He's like very, very mid. A mid-ass rapper with some, you know, luxurious taste to it and to what he does, like, because they're talking about, you know, giving something, you know, his luxurious shit and all that shit, and look, there's Wally in the verse, and I mean, he does some shit there, I guess. To be fair, I don't really care much about Wally that much anyway. I know he did that. Oh, Seinfeld, whatever he did, the album.
Mixtape about nothing.
Yeah, the mixtape about nothing, yeah. But yeah, this seems like a very standard Rick Ross track that I can just say, eh, okay. I mean, we'll see with that Port Miami 2 album comes out, whenever it comes out.
Sir, I don't appreciate being called a fool, Mr. Ross. That's really the extent of what I have to say about this. It's my only joke here. But, yeah, that's basically about it for the new song discussions. Like we said, a very Mark-heavy week. But we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have some news topics to discuss, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back. Now, before we begin, I just got to double check something really quick. Okay, so nothing under the computer, nothing behind the other monitor here, nothing in the corner. Well, gentlemen, I think we can safely say we have a week with no major confirmed Woodstock 50 updates.
Oh, thank God above. Yeah, there's been a couple of rumblings, but nothing confirmed, so we're good for now. Hooray.
Now we can take a break from Michael Lang's stupidity and talk about Spotify stupidity. How fun.
Oh, oh joy.
So you might remember that a while back we reported on a ruling from the U.S. Copyright Royalty Board that would mandate higher payouts for music streaming services. Specifically, it would require, you know, like Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, all of that, to raise their royalty payouts by 43.8% over the course of about 5 years. And you may remember that Spotify was trying to fight back, you know, against that in the months that the decision came out. But apparently, Spotify has still been pushing back, and not only do they not want the payout increase to happen, but now they're claiming that apparently they have overpaid various songwriters and publishers in the past year. And just for the record, Spotify's payouts are about 0.006 to 0.0084 cents per single stream. And that has to go between songwriters and publishers and shit, so... yeah, that apparently counts as overpaying in a weird way.
So basically what they're saying is, hey, so what they're saying is, hey, I paid you too much. Give them 2 cents back. Wait, what? I paid you too much. What? That's just, you cheap, screwed, motherfucker.
Yeah, apparently part of this stems from, like, how they count, because, you know, as a big part of how they try to get other people to, you know, buy into Spotify subscriptions, instead of the, as alternatives to, like, the individual $10 per month, they also have, like, family subscription plans and, of course, discounted student plans. You know, I'm sure we've all taken advantage or know someone who's taken advantage of that shit for reasons. Apparently, the family plans count as 1.5 subscribers per month. And student counts as 0.5, and based on these calculations, they say that they've been overpaying motherfuckers.
What? Okay, what?
Let's look at some, just to quote specifically from a spokesperson for Spotify, quote, according to the new CRB regulations, we overpaid most publishers in 2018. While the appeal of the CRB decision is pending, the rates set by the CRB are current law and we will abide by them, not only for 2018, but also for future years in which the amount paid to publishers is set to increase significantly. Rather than collect the 2018 overpayment immediately, we have offered to extend the recoupment period through the end of 2019 in order to minimize the impact of the adjustment on publishing companies. You know, it's times like this I wish George Carlin was still alive, because he could probably break apart the jargon of this shit in beautiful detail.
This feels like when I had to pay a lot of money to the state of North Carolina in back taxes because my employer was too cheap to actually take taxes out of my paychecks. This is something that could have been prevented, and yet it wasn't. So screw you, Spotify. I'm glad I have Apple Music, because while they may be a while they may be a company that doesn't quite know how to do good hardware nowadays, they at least are dedicated to paying artists what they're worth, which, granted, it's about, on average, 0.7 cents per single stream. But still, if you're popular enough, you're going to get paid. Isn't that right, Lil Nas X?
Yeah. Yeah, imagine that dude is making some mad... I wonder how much he's actually getting off of that shit. Like, I gotta see his
papers. He was at the BET Awards last night with Rihanna, so, yeah.
Yeah, very nice. So, yeah, Spotify... yeah. Stop being stupid. Just pay motherfuckers. Because, you know, motherfuckers gotta get paid, as my friend Julian would put it.
And not just the big music stars. I mean the I mean, the indie motherfuckers too as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure people like Kitty are getting as much money as Lil Nas X. That's important. Also, Ariel Pink. Ariel Pink's got bills to pay too.
Yeah. Maybe not Taylor Swift. She's got enough money anyway.
Too much, I would say.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's...
Speaking of people who are going to get paid...
Yeah, so you might remember last week we covered the news report about the 2008 Universal Studios fire that destroyed over 500,000 musical recordings and master tapes, $150 million worth of damage, which, once again, I feel like I need to remind you all, that is like blockbuster movie levels. Hell, I'm pretty sure there are several entries in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that cost $150 million to make. I didn't have time to look it up beforehand, but I'm confident that's the case.
You can make two Deadpools with that much money.
Yeah, and you should make two Deadpools, because the Deadpool movies were damn funny. But we basically were just waiting from that point up until someone decided, you know what, Universal, we're going to sue your ass. And would you look at that? It is lawsuit o'clock. According to new reports, it looks like various musical entities whose works were damaged in the 2008 fire have filed an actual, you know, class action lawsuit. Those include Soundgarden, Jane, the ex-wife of Tom Petty, Jane, the band Hole, Steve Earle, and even the estate of Tupac Shakur. They're seeking, okay, so, as we said, $150 million of damage. The class action lawsuit is seeking damages worth half of that, plus half of any additional losses. So, well, first off, that seems kind of blue-balling it. Only half? I would try to get Universal for twice that much, at least. You fuckers lost some musical history here, yo. You're low-balling it.
It still has to be within reason. Granted, that's just an initial request / demand. It could go higher if this goes further into court, as class action suits tend to do, especially if they have to pay out several parties, or several dozen or several hundred parties in this case.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens when you fuck up this badly. And, so that's pretty much happening. Of course... I don't really have any additional comments here. I think we basically just said everything there had to be, other than the fact that one of the attorneys representing the suit, Howard King, has said to Rolling Stone, "Our lawsuit on behalf of all affected artists describes a devastating loss of precious master recordings concealed from the artists for more than a decade. We seek an accounting of every lost master, including outtakes and unreleased material." Wow, unreleased material. So there's some shit that's really lost. "As well as a fair share of the tens of millions of dollars received by Universal as compensation for the loss." And Universal Music, their representatives have declined to comment.
There is one thing I want to say. There was a report that came out from Variety with this interesting headline. "Universal Music Fire Scandal is just noise, says Vivendi, the parent company of Universal, Arnaud de Puyfontaine. Simply noise, meant to distract people from business holdings." Along with this claim that Universal is dedicated to, quote, transparency over this whole thing going forward, you know, when we thought that Universal partnering with the site Everybody Hates YouTube to remaster music videos, while many a content creator continues to get unfairly fucked around because of maybe 2 seconds of audio. Guys, I fucking hate you so much right now, Universal. You suck! You suck so much right now. And I hope your assets get sued for everything you're worth. But that's just me talking personally.
The levels of suckitude here are unimaginable. We don't have methods for measuring how much this sucks and how much Universal sucks. But we gotta get our top scientists on that shit.
Yeah, y'all suck.
Awesome.
Yes, the only appropriate response would be to play Strapping Young Lads, You Suck. That's
hell yeah, you fucking suck.
Oh, fuck us all. God, that's such a fucking good album. But anyway, time to move on to the last news topic, and of course, the big one. And of course, once again, we're throwing it over to Mark, since this is his domain. Take it away.
Yes. Once again, WSL Magazine has brought to you this year's the official 2009 WXL Freshman Class. And...
Wait, 2009?
Shit, I mean, 2019. You got me all fucked up. Anyway, I remember last year is that was that we 10 spots? It's more nonsense. One or two dropped out. But now, this year, we have a class of, count them, not 9, not 10, but 11 artists on the cover. 11.
That's one more than 10.
And two had to be women. And three had to be women. That's more than what they more than the usual one they always throw us.
Hey, making progress.
And I was just wondering, who are these people? Who are the people that people want to hear, the people who are actually blowing up, or what? Well, here's one of them from East St. Louis, Illinois. It's Come Dazine. Shit.
Wow, I don't even know what that name is.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm guessing a SoundCloud rapper known for doing hip hop and trap. Say his music is often compared to rappers like TK and Playboi Carti. Oh boy,
dial it.
In other words, Nick gonna be a lot of fans saying, "Oh, it's a work of art. It's genius. It's the whatever the hell they're talking about." Okay, I never heard much about this guy. And I was like, well, I guess he's a new hot shit, I guess. But another one that I have heard of, and one that I think one of us have been had praised here, from Philadelphia, Tio Wack.
Oh shit! What up?
Yep.
The Wack. It's a Wack world, man.
Yeah, you know, from her, they have a Wack world with this. A 15-minute album, which every song's a minute, and of course you should heard her do a verse in Final Loser's album, Falava, with the song "A Yellow Belly," even those weird ass lyrics. He got titties in his face. Oh,
that's still great.
And I can tell, she's one of the more offbeat picks that they pick, because I guess, hearing about her, like, she is made that the more offbeat strange pick, which I can appreciate. Next pick coming from Charlotte, North Carolina, we have DaBaby. And yes, once again, I said DaBaby, DaBaby.
Wait, this guy's from now, Charlotte?
Yeah, he's from Charlotte. He has a single out right now called Suge. Called Suge, which was I'm guessing he's only, on the Hot 100 now. He's like piece number 8 right now, which I'm guessing that's all I got. I heard the dude got energy on him, he's more of a goofy rapper, but kind of more funny. I mean, that's all I know. I mean, all I know is this one song of him. And everything he did with YG earlier, I talked about with Stop Snitching. All right, next up from Seattle, we have Lil Mosey. Oh, and okay, but he's 17. He does look young. He does look a little kid, because he he was somebody who I see from Nickelodeon. Like, okay, like, because like he signed Interscope from, he signed Interscope, and well, I mean, he has like one album out, which at least last year, which I guess no one noticed until now. I never much about this. I mean, I thought the movie would be like a joke. Would be like a joke name or some shit. Okay. Next up from Compton, we got Roddy Ricch. No, mainly I heard him before. Mainly association has been people like Meek Mill, DJ Mustard, and Nipsey Hussle. Mainly, I think he was featured. Yeah, I think he was featured in some of his tracks. Like, I know there's like one song. I think it was like one song that's been charted recently due to since Nipsey's death, Racks in the Middle, which I heard that's been charting recently this year. I mean, peaked at number 26. Okay, once again, I really hear much about this rapper, which, well, I'm gonna say that a lot, because most of these names I either have not heard, or it's middle for me. Like, okay, I'm just getting him to go with the next one. Next one we have is YNB Cordae. Yeah, yes, I'm a rapper with the YNB name on it, which I heard the dude does have a good setup. He can rap well, is what I'm saying. Like, he made one song called Old Niggas. It was a response to that J. Cole song, 1985, last year. A response, not a diss, just so you know. Like, I heard a little bit of him before. Like, the dude can rap. Like, he does. He's one of us that does have, like, you know, like, you know, can mix old school and new school type of shit. Like, you know, like something you hear from, like, something here like a Troy Badass or a Jid, like something like that. See, he'd be like, you know, like, I guess, and you know, one of the rappers that do got that shit. Hopefully, who doesn't, you know, fucking all up, because right now, I think right now he's touring with Jid and Logic, and but Herpes rap, whatever is, like, yeah, he's alright. He's alright, like, for now, like, alright. Next one we got is from Florida, your neck of the woods, Rob. YK Osiris.
Hey. I don't live in that part of the swamp, boy. Jacksonville is territory I will never be caught dead in. I'm pretty sure that's the same city that birthed Flaccid Pancake.
Okay. Uh-huh. Good thing Luke got out of there.
Yeah.
Okay, so another rapper that I ain't heard much about either. Like, apparently he signed with Def Jam, because I searched his name and he says, and one of them is, well, okay, so, oh, which stands for, oh, that's for Young King Osiris, which, okay, fucking makes sense, but yeah, whatever. Now, get him on with the next one. Now, rapper that you recognize, Rob. From Margo, Maryland, Rico Nasty.
Oh my god, fucking thank you. Yes, she is on the way up. Y'all motherfuckers better recognize some legit talent when it's staring you in the face, man. Fucking fire. Now let's get Zach Fox in here. But that's unrelated.
Okay, and if y'all know much about Rico Nasty, we were talking about her stuff on the show, or I think you reviewed Alma hers last year, I think, Rob, was it Nasty? Because I think it was something.
I think it was on the album roundup. So
Yeah, that's me. Like, she got some good shit on her. She got, like, I heard her appear from either Father. She did that track with Kenny Beats, I think. She appeared on that Inch Berserk album I reviewed last, I mean, last, this is my last month, like, yeah, it's a good show on there. And this next one.
Yeah, Nasty was June last year, and holy shit, I don't think I listened to that Kenny Beats album she did this year. Holy shit, I gotta get around to that.
And on this next one, one I have talked about, and one I'm not, one whose work I did review this year, I did talk about this year, Gunna from Atlanta.
Aww.
And you know who he is? He's he signed the Young Thugs label, just so you know, and of course collaborated with the other rapper with the word baby in him, which surprisingly, the baby's on the list, but not Little Baby. I guess anyone too many babies on the list. And as for who listened to whatever the fuck his album was, Hard Drip 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 or Drown 2, which all this is named a drip something. It's like Drip Season, Drip 2, Season 2, Drip Harder, Drip Everywhere. Fuck. Talk about dripping. I'm saying right now.
More like tripping, because Gunna is always tripping.
Yeah, I'm saying right now, yeah, he sucks. I don't know if he might be the next one that blew up. I don't know. Just something happened. Next one we got from Los Angeles, we have Blueface, which I heard him do that one song he did with called Tatiana, which I heard that was it's not a viral meme song, which he's known for having this upbeat style rapping, which he's not on the beat because he does that shit, which, okay, I mean, I know about Tatiana and whatever songs he had, but yeah, that's, you know, even though that song is known for being, like, you know, basically an internet meme song, which I don't know that last one for him. And yes, he a Crip. Just throwing that out. I don't know why, but I'm just saying.
Do you think we can hit him up for some Cripicola?
And last and not least, from Houston, we have Megan Thee Stallion. I just like her.
Yeah, she's been blowing up recently.
Yes, she has. She had an album out, which once again, released last month, which I should have listened to, which I didn't have time to, but I have heard a bit of it, which the girl is hearing the thing on the mic, she can rap. Also, I just love the stage name she has, Megan Thee Stallion, like the two E's and B, like Thee Stallion, like just with like, oh, it's Thee Stallion. Your name is Megan Thee Stallion.
Don't get it twisted, man. There's only one Thee Stallion.
So yeah, all this list, I can say that, well, at least I recognize, hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, most of the people in this list. I mean, I can see potential in people like Cordae, maybe, he might be one of those rappers that, look at people that technical shit, but I guess who can see people that might boost for Tierra Rico and Megan, which once again there's three female rappers on this list which they never did this shit before, because usually they always put like just one out there, or at least have they put more, like, okay, yeah, okay, yeah, it's like most time when I have female rappers, they just have like maybe one a year, but here we got three, which is all right, pretty good. I mean, I don't know who, you know, I think the one people ain't gonna remember is either the Comdazine, the whatever the fuck his name has got, like,
what the fuck names
I'm not gonna remember, like, or some names, or some names, like, there be some names like you probably might forget from next year, like, cause think about like last year, do you remember Weefy's Funeral or Smoke Perp or Stefflon Don, which, then again, Stefflon Don is money, UK reserve, so they got that right there. Like, I think it's, like, you know, ever since they still do...
Wait, what the fuck is a wife's funeral? You just made that shit up.
No, nah, he was from last year. Like, nah, he was from last year's list. And, again, I believe on the face where I guess it didn't hit. I guess they forgot him quickly. Just like, since I'm doing this, like, in 2016, like, come to think of it, we still hear a lot from rappers from 2016 more than the previous years. Like, we hear about Curry and Pac, Yachty, unfortunately, maybe Kodak Black, unfortunately, Lil Dicky, unfortunately. Davies and G Herbo, not much. Designer, I think he fell off. Like, no one, like, when was the last time you heard of a big designer track? Like, I think you just thought, like, 21 Savage, well, we heard him a lot, just, well, musically and news, but this list is, we'll say there have been a lot of positive reaction for this list. Like, there has been, like, you know, some good reaction to this list, because usually you got very mixed reactions to this list, because, you know, it's like, well, basically, it's like, what if, you know, people's like, who's rappers doing here? Why all these other rappers doing here? What the fuck, who are these old rappers? Who are these weird colored hair motherfuckers? All that shit. But yeah, this list is the most interesting one out of the last 2 years. I'm interested to see who's gonna, you know, like, how much will it help out their whole career. Like, that's what I wonder about. This whole, what about here, right there. But yeah, it's...
Well, obviously, you all know who I'm rooting for here. And I really gotta check out Megan Thee Stallion soon. Maybe I'll check it out later this week.
I need to check that one out fully, because I did listen to FIFA a bit. I do need to hear the TLY album, which I need to hear that too. And I got a lot of shit to look up at, but yeah. Hopefully, once those freestyles come out later on, we'll see what they got.
We'll have words about those. Yep. But anyway, that about does it for the news topic discussion. So now to talk about the new album releases coming out for the week of June 28th, 2019. As previously mentioned, once this episode comes out, you can now hear the debut album from Blarf, Cease and Desist, and Legalize the Ranch. Speaking of Legalizing Ranch, we got a new album from 311 coming out called Voyager. There's the newest project from the Black Keys called Let's Rock. Oh god damn it, you gotta be fucking kidding me with this shit. Chris Brown with a new album, Indigo. Double album. Way. It's like 2.5 hours, and apparently it's got bonus tracks.
Why did God help these long ass albums? I thought that Trent died.
Sadly, Chris Brown refuses to fucking die. Anyway, we also got the newest album from Mustard called Perfect 10. In what fucking world, dude? And last but not least, The Week is saved thanks to Freddie Gibbs and Madlib with their newest album, Bandana.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
for something.
Yes, and yes, that's what I tried with. It's going to be all good.
Yeah, so now time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, the name is Aura of Azure, where you can find me talking about whatever I feel like talking about, whenever I have time to talk about it, or just, when I'm not busy watching Whose Line clips, because we're in a terrible dystopian hellscape.
Quite. Mark, what about you?
As always, Twitter, MatchHeaven Media, site, highwaywordpress.com. Hopefully around this week, you should be, my thoughts around, by the time of the season, spring wrap-up should be up soon, where I talk about what went on this past spring season, which was about as dry as his toast.
Quite. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at CuriousCat, at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sorrowresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Sorrow Resolution. Just subscribe and hit the bell tab, and you'll be notified when new shit goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, at SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, SurrealResolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, and all of that stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can shitpost the dankest memes. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll see you again next week. And until then, $50 for a box of Reese's Puffs? Are you fucking high, Travis Scott?
Will he a sickle mode when I eat it?
I like Reese's Puffs, but not that much.